Sister Prophetess Danielle, Soul Singers, Stephanie, Sean, Pam, Jackie, Zakia, to the entire choir. We give thanks for the way the Lord is using you. Let's pray together. Can we join hands across the congregation best we can? God, we give thanks for the opportunity to gather in your Son's name, our Savior Jesus Christ. We give thanks, O Lord, for our attitude of praise. This is a praise offering to you, O Lord. And as we continue in worship, God, we now listen, continue to listen, how you shall speak to us, how you shall encourage, inspire, empower, heal, offer hope to us. Speak, Lord, your daughters and your sons are listening. Speak, Lord, your children are listening. It's in the name of Jesus and in the nature of Christ we pray, and we ask, O God, that you, anything about me, on me, or in me that might hinder your work, I pray that you remove it, that your will shall be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Try not to hold you long. I don't hold you long. I don't hold y'all long. But we worship today at 3 p.m. at West Liberty United Methodist Church, 2000 Sand Hill Road in Marysville. I guess it's about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, depending on how you drive. Make it in 25. But we will caravan, we will leave after worship today, and if you're coming at whatever point you may be coming, they will serve dinner beginning 12:30 until 2:45. A lot of activity of different sorts in the life of the church. Homegoing service for Sister Hannah Stewart, 90 years young, who now lives with the Lord, Tuesday, April 24th, family hour, 9 to 11 a.m. and funeral to follow here at Goshen Church. And Sister Frida Farrell is now at home. We give thanks to God. Yeah. And Brother William Fields is recovering from surgery at Shady Grove Germantown. I rolled out of here the other day. I went to Shady Grove Silver Spring. So I said, I'm here to see William Fields. They said, oh, he's on the list for over at Germantown. I said, but the road was clear. We made it over in time. And Brother Fields, he's still in ICU recovering from surgery, and he has asked, and it is a protocol that only family visit, and limit your calls and pray for him, because what he needs is R-E-S-T. And he does not know how to R-E-S-T anyway. And we had a long conversation, and I even prayed that in my prayer, hoping that he would get the message, or the Lord would make sure he got the message. Amen. We have grown in one member here at Goshen Church by the arrival of Stephen Eli Williams, born to Daddy Avon and Mama Aya Williams. And with sadness and some celebration, probably more sadness. This is, we're having a me time. We'll get over it and just celebrate that our dear sister Ann Cooper and Rayshana and baby Faith are leaving and moving to South Carolina. Where are they? Where are they? Here's Sister Rayshana. Stand up, baby. Please stand up. Hold that. And baby Faith. And Sister Ann is working. On her last Sunday at worship, she's still serving. Sister Ann is over in the finance room. So we're gonna miss y'all. Rayshawn, we're gonna miss you all. Sister Rayshawn, what part of South Carolina? Lawrence? You know where that is? 35 million. Oh, from Myrtle Beach. On our way. God's blessings be with you. I want to just preach this morning. This passage, each verse could literally be a point for preaching. But just kind of move through some of it, and I might have to preach this another time to get the fullness. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Repeat these words after me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Repeat this as well. Possibilities are fertile when you hook up with Jesus. One more time. Possibilities are fertile when you hook up with Jesus. I want to just preach for a few moments. Jesus wants to hook you up. Jesus wants to hook you up. There's nothing worse in life than feeling disconnected. The feeling of discouragement, detachment, disengagement, discontentment. When you feel no connection with yourself, no link to anyone else or bond with anybody, no communication with God, that is when you are dealing with disconnect. I heard a story about some gypsies that were at a conference in the Middle East, and the gypsies were desert dwellers, but at this conference they stayed in a beautiful 5-star hotel. And at the hotel, particularly in their room, the gypsies were blown away by the action of the water faucet in their room. Coming from the water faucet was the precious resource known as water. And when these desert dwellers saw the water coming from the faucet, they believed that all their problems back home would be solved if they could just take the beautiful faucet back to the desert. So they unscrewed the beautiful faucet and took it home to the desert. When they arrived, they called all their family and friends to gather around, and then they turned the knobs on the faucet, and of course, nothing came out. Why? Because in spite of how beautiful and fascinating the faucet looked, it was disconnected from the source that gave its resource, the supply of water. Family, the question for us to consider today is your Christianity merely a beautiful, fascinating fixture? Did you hear what I just said? If Christianity is to be the enterprise through which connection with the life-changing possibilities and power of the resource of God is made available to us, each Christian must represent more to the world than just being a beautiful, fascinating person. And as Christians are living our lifestyle, it is reflective of a connection, of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Like the gypsy, some Christians think that they are hooked up because they have the beautiful, fascinating fixtures of the faith. We have the beautiful, fascinating fixture, the Bible. We have the King James Bible and the Revised King James Bible. We have the NIV and the RSV, the ESV, the AV, the Life Application Version, and the Jerusalem Version of the Bible. We have the hardback Bibles. We have paperback Bibles and beautiful leather-bound Bibles. We've got online Bibles, iPhone Bibles, iPad Bibles, laptop Bibles, Bibles in our car, Bibles in our office, Bibles in our home. We've got Bibles over here and Bibles over there. Here, Bibles, there, Bibles, everywhere, Bible, Bible. And most Christians can spit scripture quote chapter, line, and verse without having it transformed. They can do it. They can read it without having been transformed through their personal virtue and value that the Bible brings. Family, regardless of the number of Bibles a person possesses or the scripture memorized, it merely represents a person who is beautiful, ecclesial, fascinating fixture. Unless they are hooked up to a relationship with Jesus. Being hooked up with Jesus Christ causes us to make commitment to personal change. Am I right? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So people are hooked up on telling other people's testimony. They blab about how good God has been to somebody else, but sadly they have no personal, no genuine experience to tell about what the Lord has done for them. Hey, trying to help somebody this morning. You're merely an unhooked, beautiful, fascinating, ecclesial fixture until you can answer the question that Jesus asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Yeah. Yeah. Most of y'all ain't feeling me. Some people are unhooked, beautiful, ecclesial, fascinating fixtures of traditionalism. Yeah. Now, if it's tradition that you're hooked up to, that's a beautiful hookup. But if you're hooked on traditionalism, that's not so good. You see, tradition is the living faith of the dead. Yeah. While traditionalism represents the dead faith of the living. Come on. Let me remix that. Tradition is a legacy of love and service and sacrifice that a person leaves behind, like a Sister Hannah and others who have left from this place, as a sign of faithfulness to God. And tradition is the example of someone's journey of faith with Jesus that started as a small seed that over time blossomed into a display of fruitful grace in the Spirit.
That's right.
Love and joy. Peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That person is dead and gone, but their life of faith, their legacy is alive, and we are here to model it, to remember it. Tradition is hooked up with righteousness. Y'all know what righteousness is, right? But family, watch out for the beautiful, unhooked, fascinating fixture of traditionalism. You see, traditionalism is the dead faith of the living. The dead faith of the living. Traditionalism looks beautiful. Traditionalism will make you feel good and have fond memories about what was and who was. And traditionalism might even make you shout. But there is no faith to be found in traditionalism. Did you hear what I said? Traditionalism is where church people live by the seven fruitless, faithless words. We've never done it this way before. Woo! Traditionalism will keep you stuck like Chuck. Traditionalism causes some churches to take on the characteristics of being cliquish and exclusive and bougie. Don't look at me funny. Some beautiful fixture traditionalists are more concerned about maintaining its image than transforming their air image to that of Jesus Christ. Those hooked on traditionalism commandeer creativity. They will stifle the Holy Spirit, causing an unconscious forfeiture of the future for an emerging generation of believers. Come on, y'all better come on with me. They try to make a culture of mini-me's. many churches, youth Sunday, youth ministry, youth activity is beautiful fixture disconnected from inspiration, creativity, and the needs of this current generation. Y'all with me? Some like to say that young people don't like church. They don't like being a part of the church. They don't like doing what we do in church. Young people just don't know how to come around and be a part of us. Truth be told, young people don't have a problem with church. They don't have a problem with Jesus. It's beautiful fixtures of traditionalism that block the flow of faith, fire, and fun for young people. You see, the emerging generation largely views the church as judgmental, hypocritical, controlling, cliquish, and negative. The emerging generation largely sees the church as homophobic, dictatorial, degenerating, and they just not really ready to embrace us, is what young people say. Yeah. You see, the real deal is that Generation Next wants to hook up with Christians who are hooked into Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
They want to hook up with disciples who keep it real and about life and their relationship with the Lord. You see, the next generation needs guidance, not scare tactics or rules.
Yeah.
You see, Generation Next wants to see faith without front. Generation Next does not need beautiful ecclesial fixtures. They need godly guidance from people of faith who are genuine in love, who will help them navigate through the crazy mixed-up world.
Yes, right.
Young people need to know that they are welcome in the Lord's house and loved unconditionally. Even though their trends are different, their fashion is different, their way of communicating is different. Am I making any sense? Since churches seem to be stuck on three issues as important: abortion and same-sex marriage and prayer in school. You know, if we still had prayer in school, all these things wouldn't be happening. Well, you might not be able to pray at school, but you can't pray at home. That's where the parents are, I suspect. But those three, when there are other concerns that are relevant beyond those three, they're important, but there are other concerns that are relative that need attention. How about love? That's relevant. That's important, isn't it?
Right.
How about respect? Respect is important.
Right.
The need for living wage and community development, that's important these days. And profiling through education, using it as a gauge for black and brown children that filters them right into the pipeline to prison. That deserves and requires some attention.
That's right.
What about social justice?
Yeah, come on.
Can a brother use a bathroom and wait on to get a latte without being hassled?
Come on.
I wish I had a praying church this morning.
Come on,
the predatory practices of payday lending, that's relevant.
Yeah.
Family, the real deal is that a congregation can have all the beautiful ecclesial fixtures and features and will not be relevant. But the good news, there's good news today, and we serve a God who is so good. Do I have a witness? God is so good that God wants to hook us up. Tell somebody, please, that the Lord wants to hook you up. Now, for folk who may have a problem with using hook up and Jesus in the same sentence, let me help you with understand vernacular. You see, social vernacular has shifted and stretched certain terms and words that used to have pretty much only one meaning. Now they have multiple meanings in mainstream language. For instance, to say that's hot, it used to mean if you touch it, it'll burn you. But today, to say hot could mean that somebody is quite attractive.
Yeah. Come on.
And something else looks really good. Am I right, Brother Nigel?
Amen.
So to say the Lord wants to hook you up means that the Lord wants to share something special with you.
That's right.
The Lord
That's
wants
right.
to attach you That's to a supernatural experience and relationship that is beyond what you could think or ask. The Lord wants to bless you with righteous resources that will blow your mind.
Yeah.
The Lord wants to hook you up with the Lord self. And see, in order to be hooked up by Jesus, we must be hooked in to Jesus. I guess it's time I take my text. The A part of our text says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. The Reverend King translation says, I am the root, you are the branches. If you hook up with me, I will hook up with you in a way that will blow your mind. Check the first two words of that scripture verse. I am. Somebody say I am.
I am.
I am implies unity,
yeah.
Oneness, sameness, connection, community.
Yes.
When you hook up with Jesus, the relationship is recognized between you and the Lord.
That's right.
The relationship is not a casual connection. The relationship is not a Sunday connection. When you're hooked up with Jesus, it is a water and spirit hookup. Did you hear what I just said?
Right.
To be hooked up with Jesus is a confession and commitment hookup.
Right.
Do you have any saved people in the house this morning?
Amen.
It's a heart hookup. You see, the second thing about our text teaches us is that it's not about the lovely leaf. It's about the attachment to the righteous root. In order to have righteous fruit,
yeah,
you've got to have righteous root.
Yeah. Come on.
Did you hear what I said? Hashtag, it's all about Jesus. Righteous root.
Yes, sir.
Hashtag, I'm Jesus-centered.
Yeah.
Righteous roots. It's hashtag Jesus mentality.
Yeah.
Family, don't get so caught up in the beautiful leaves, your beautiful leaves, your beautiful possessions, your beautiful prestige, your personal appearance. Why? Because even on the surface, a swamp is beautiful.
Come on. Hey.
A swamp on the surface is pretty and prosperous and it looks productive, but underneath a swamp, it's not connected to anything. It has no roots, or the roots are short and shallow roots. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
So see, since I moved into the area, you know what I've noticed? You can drive by certain communities in gorgeous Gaithersburg, and from the street level, Gaithersburg looks gorgeous. You can drive through certain parts of beautiful Bethesda, and on the surface, beautiful Bethesda looks beautiful. You can drive through saintly Silver Spring and sanctified Sandy Spring and consecrated Clarksburg and mall all over marvelous Montgomery County. And as you drive by at the surface level, the tree line level, the gated community level, the smooth street level, everything looks fine and flourishing and pristine and prosperous. Out here in the suburbs, most people's lives are on the surface, look emotionally, socially, spiritually healthy. But if you look beneath the surface of some places and some people, they are disconnected, dying or dead.
Amen.
Oh, okay. That might have been too deep for some. Let me try another way. Some people strut around like a peacock, showing off their beautiful plumerage. The beautiful plumerage of position, the beautiful plumerage of power, the beautiful plumerage of prestige. They strut around showing off their beautiful plumerage of material.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as beautiful as a peacock is, guess what? It can't fly.
That's right.
All it could do is strut around.
Yeah.
But it can't take off and go anywhere. With all the beauty, the peacock can only go so far and so high. With all the beauty and the brilliance that our personal plumerage represents, when times get tough and tight, we can't fix it.
Yeah.
No matter how hard we try.
That's right.
Your president can't fix his personal problems or this country's problems by himself. Our local or national government can't fix things by itself. I can't fix my stuff by myself. Guess what? You can't fix your stuff all by yourself.
That's right.
That's why it pays to have a hookup with Jesus. Do I have a witness?
Yeah. Amen.
The scripture says, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God shall stand forever. Word of God says those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf, and not the TV show.
Come on.
Let me say it this way. If it ain't about a relationship with Jesus, it ain't about nothing.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said? No preaching, no singing, no serving connects to Jesus like believing.
That's right.
There's no better place than to be rooted in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Come on. Oh, man, y'all missed your shout.
Yes, sir.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. When you're rooted in Jesus, you receive spiritual sap. You receive the Holy Spirit of God that will empower and inspire you and lift you. Do you have the Holy Ghost?
Come on.
That requires an answer.
Yeah.
Do you have the Holy Ghost?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
When you're hooked into the Spirit of Christ, you produce like Christ produces.
Amen.
In abundance.
Yeah.
Shaking together.
Yeah.
Running over.
Yeah.
Do I have a witness?
Amen.
When you're hooked into Jesus, you get authentic power.
Mm-hmm.
When you're hooked up with Jesus, when you're rooted in Jesus Christ, you receive purpose.
Yeah. Come on.
Woo! When you wake up every day knowing that life has meaning, you wake up every morning knowing that you have a date with a divine appointment that will not only change you, but help somebody else to change. You become different when you're rooted in Christ. When you're rooted in Jesus, Jesus hooks you up and you become productive. You have purpose and you have a praise. When you're hooked up with Jesus, you can't wait to tell somebody how good God has been in your life. Do I have a witness?
Amen.
Do I have a witness?
That's right.
That's my word today. We got to go to liberty right now, and we got to get out of here. I may have to, like I said, come back and preach this thing about 2-3 more times to get it in its fullness. But I feel I need to say one more time, don't waste your time. Don't go through life as merely a beautiful swamp. Don't go through life just as a beautiful peacock. Don't be a beautiful, fascinating Christian fixture. Don't waste your time being satisfied as one of the beautiful people. Get hooked up with Jesus.
Come on.
Get hooked up with the generosity and the genuine love of Jesus. Get the power from Jesus. Get hooked up with Jesus and get your faith. Get hooked up with Jesus and find peace in your life. Get rooted in the Redeemer and be healed. Get hooked up with Jesus and get your joy back. Get hooked up with the God from on high and become holy as he is holy. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but I trust in the name of the Lord. Some trust in Wall Street. Some trust in their BMW 7 Series. Some trust in their six-figure salary and their seven-figure house. But I trust in the name of the Lord. Do I have a witness? The Lord has never forsaken those who seek His face. Do I have a witness? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. You might start off the day with a BS, a MS, and go on and earn a PhD. But tomorrow morning, you can wake up a blithering idiot, not remembering your own name. But the Lord shall provide. The Lord will take care of every need. Do I have a witness? The Lord wants to hook you up. Won't you let Him? Won't you let the Lord hook you up? Let Jesus hook you up. You'll be stronger, wiser. You'll be stronger and wiser. You'll be better, so much better. Won't He do it? Won't He do it?